Welcome to Pediagogy. I'm Tammy.
And I'm Lydia.
And we're UC Davis Children's Hospital trained pediatricians in Sacramento.
This podcast reviews common conditions in children to enhance our knowledge and the knowledge of other residents, medical students, and any other interested learners.
With that, let's delve right into this episode.
You're called to assess a term male infant in the nursery for a dry peeling rash that includes the palms and soles. You also note the baby has a large liver. Mom had very limited prenatal care and her syphilis testing at delivery is still in process. In the meantime, you order an RPR in the baby and start IV aqueous penicillin G.
Today's case sounds like good old syphilis and sounds like a pretty common case that we saw a lot of at UC Davis.
Yeah, and not surprising because the incidence of syphilis is actually on the rise. There's actually been a spike in teenagers and young adults of reproductive age with syphilis, leading to a concomitant increase in congenital syphilis cases, unfortunately. So just to kind of prove that point, in 2018, there were 1,306 cases of congenital syphilis reported, as opposed to just even 5 years before that, there were only 362 cases.
Yikes, that's like over three times more.
Yeah, so that's a lot.
I always think of syphilis as an old disease, like back in the day, historical fiction sort of thing. But for pediatricians today, like me and you, it's still super relevant because congenital syphilis can cause a lot of problems for the baby. The majority of cases, which is like 70%, are actually asymptomatic, which makes congenital syphilis pretty difficult to diagnose. A minority of babies can present with things like hepatosplenomegaly, snuffles, or basically a runny nose, lymphadenopathy, pneumonia, and a dry peeling rash or a maculopapular rash that includes the palms and soles. You can also see meningitis, osteochondritis, and periostitis on long bone x-rays, hemolytic anemia, thrombocytopenia, and jaundice with direct hyperbilirubinemia. So these are kind of all those like buzzword things that you'll think about on the test, but it might not actually show up if you do have a real case.
Yeah, and that's actually true because just thinking about like how many congenital syphilis workups we did in residency, I don't think I actually saw that many with the clinical presentations described.
Yeah.
So if you have babies that are not diagnosed and treated for congenital syphilis, they will go on to develop other symptoms later on around 2 years of age. And those can include things like neurosyphilis, so things like meningitis, uveitis, seizures, optic atrophy, cranial nerve 8 hearing loss, dementia, and posterior cord degeneration. They can also get things like interstitial keratitis, the Hutchinson teeth, so the peg-shaped teeth, bowing of the shins, frontal bossing, mulberry molars, which are just these molars that have like multiple indents on them, saddle nose deformities, perioral fissures, clutton joints, which is just this painless symmetric swelling of the knees. So lots of different things. Treatment during the neonatal period is meant to prevent these later findings.
No, I get that mulberry molars are supposed to be like, they look like a mulberry, even though I've never seen one before. But things like the Hutchinson teeth and clutton joints, I'm always like, where did that come from? And I'm sure I could just Google this, but I've always wondered.
Sure, it's probably just an older doctor who...
Yeah. Yeah, whoever discovered it. So syphilis can be transmitted from mother to infant at any stage of pregnancy or even during delivery. The most devastating consequence of congenital syphilis is stillbirth, which occurs in 40% of maternal infections. Placental transmission is related to maternal stage of infection. So, for example, women with early primary or secondary syphilis infection during pregnancy have a 60 to 100% risk of transmitting the infection to her fetus. But mothers who have latent infection, the risk of transmission actually drops down to only 8%.
Wow, yeah. So that sounds very infectious.
Yeah.
So how do we diagnose and treat congenital syphilis? This can get super confusing, and I get confused all the time when I do this because there's sort of a lot of moving parts in the evaluation. So we'll talk about it a little bit here, but I think it's helpful to look at the Red Book management algorithm at the same time and also talk to ID when you're caring for a baby with possible congenital syphilis. But the first step is to compare mother's antibody titers to baby's antibody titers and look for clinical findings that are consistent with congenital syphilis.
An important first step is to confirm that mom has been tested for syphilis during pregnancy, and if they haven't gotten any prenatal care, at the minimum, you want to check at the time of delivery. This is regardless of any maternal risk factors, so you should be doing this for everyone. Maternal syphilis testing will include a combination of treponemal testing. So that's your syphilis, IgG and IgM, TPPA, TPEIA. So just all different types of antibodies to syphilis. And then also non-treponemal testing, which is your RPRs and VDRLs. The second thing you want to do after that is to order a non-treponemal, so that RPR, VRDL test on the baby, which is because we don't routinely use treponemal testing for infants.
So if the mother was adequately treated prior to pregnancy with a low stable or negative titers, and the baby has a normal exam with low or negative RPR, then the baby is unlikely to have congenital syphilis.
So what if mom was treated during the pregnancy, not prior? Well, you consider this treatment to be adequate if it was started at least 4 weeks prior to delivery and completed by delivery without evidence of relapse or reinfection. That's especially important if mom was treated for late or latent infection. If baby's titers are not fourfold greater than mom's titers and there's a normal infant exam, then congenital syphilis is less likely. So that's kind of like if mom's was 1 to 8 and baby's is 1 to 4, you know, then, and they totally look normal, then congenital syphilis is less likely.
Yeah, 4 is that kind of sweet spot number. So what if mother was not adequately treated? I feel like I see this category more often than not. Examples of this would be things like if the mom was untreated at all, treatment's undocumented, treatment was less than 4 weeks prior to delivery, they were treated with some other agent, a non-penicillin agent, they were reinfected or relapsed, or if the partner had recently tested positive for syphilis. So in this case, in addition to the RPR, then the baby needs to do a larger evaluation for possible congenital syphilis.
What is this evaluation for proven or highly probable or possible congenital syphilis? This workup will include a CBC, long bone radiographs or skeletal survey, and a lumbar puncture. You want to be looking at the CSF to evaluate for cell count, meaning your white blood cells, red blood cells, protein, and VDRL. You should also consider other tests like LFTs, eye exams, and brain imaging if it's clinically indicated. So, for example, if a patient had hepatosplenomegaly, then you would want to consider getting the LFTs. For infants with less likely or unlikely congenital syphilis, though, you don't need any further workup beyond an RPR.
For infants who do require workup, you can consider starting empiric IV penicillin G. For proven or highly probable congenital syphilis, so if you have high titers or a concerning exam, the treatment is IV Pen G, 50,000 units per kilogram every 12 hours in the first week of age, and then you increase it to every 8 hours for infants that are over 1 week of age for a total of 10 days.
Let's review evaluation, treatment, and follow-up for babies who are less likely to have congenital syphilis. In these cases, again, remember, mom was treated during pregnancy at least 4 weeks prior to delivery, and there's no concern for relapse or reinfection, and the baby has normal exam and titers that are less than fourfold greater than mom's titers. For these babies, you don't need to do any further evaluation or treatment. However, you do want to make sure that they get follow-up RPRs at 2 to 3 months of life. If you're not sure if mom or baby will be able to follow up, you can consider giving a single dose of intramuscular long-acting benzathine, which is penicillin G. Baby's titers should decrease by 3 months of age, and they should be non-reactive by 12 months. If titers persist or increase, then you have to do reevaluation.
Finally, the unlikely congenital syphilis category. This is when moms have adequate treatment before pregnancy with low stable or a negative titer. Babies have normal exams and babies' RPR titers are less than fourfold the maternal titer. These babies do not require further workup or treatment, but should have a follow-up RPR at 2 to 3 months of life. If the follow-up is uncertain, you can give a single dose of IM Pen G again in this case.
Finally, if you have an older child who's over 1 month of age and they're presenting now with stigmata concerning for congenital syphilis, you got to do a full workup. If the workup is positive, then treatment would be IV penicillin G, but this time you want to give a higher dose, so it'd be 200 to 300,000 units per kilogram for 10 days.
Okay, so this is kind of a lot with the whole unlikely proven possible congenital syphilis thing. So definitely re-listen to this episode and definitely look at the Red Book algorithm. But just to kind of summarize, congenital syphilis is rising in prevalence due to more infected women of reproductive age. Most infants with congenital syphilis are asymptomatic, but the symptomatic infants can have things like snuffles, peeling or maculopapular rash involving the palms and soles, hepatosplenomegaly, bony deformities, jaundice, and thrombocytopenia. Evaluation starts with comparing mother's RPR titers to the baby's titers. If the baby's titers are fourfold higher than mother's, and or if there are clinical concerns for congenital syphilis, the baby needs treatment with IV PNG for 10 days. If baby has a normal exam, the RPR is less than fourfold the maternal RPR, but the mother was inadequately treated, then the baby needs additional workup, including things like a CBC, bone survey, and an LP. If the evaluation is abnormal or incomplete or uninterpretable, then you treat for presumptive congenital syphilis with IV PNG for 10 days. If the evaluation is complete, interpretable, and normal, then the baby does not need further treatment.
If mother was adequately treated during pregnancy, baby has a normal physical exam, and RPR is less than fourfold maternal RPR, then the baby is considered to be less likely to have congenital syphilis. These babies don't need any workup, but you do need to consider doing a single dose of long-acting IM penicillin G, depending on their barriers to follow up, or you can just do no treatment at all. If the mother was adequately treated before pregnancy, baby has a normal physical exam, and RPR was less than fourfold maternal RPR, then the baby is considered to be unlikely to have congenital syphilis, so even less. And these babies don't need any further workup, and you don't need to consider treatment at all. All infants born to moms with syphilis during pregnancy, however, do require a follow-up RPR at 2 to 3 months of life. That's all for this episode. You can find additional information in the podcast description and our social media resources.
Please rate and subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter at PediagogyPod. That's PediagogyPod.
Special thanks to Orlando Magana at OM Audio Productions for music composition, and Dr. Su Ting Lee and Dr. Lena Vanderlis for mentorship.